Alright, page Nun, we get to Amavishay Nameinai. Rashwav's Pshat here is, not just a veritol, but, Karev Lupshat. Of all the brachis, the one that resonates with me the most is Anais and Leoiv Kayach. One of the reasons is because it's after the end, I daydream, but then when I get to the last one, I wake up. But Hamavishayna, he also has a very beautiful, pshat in Hamavishayna Meinai. Now you know that, we grew up, all the Siddurim, had Hamavishayna Meinai, Sumi Afapai, it came to an end, and then it had the Hirotzim printed separately. So everyone used to make a mistake and answer Amen. Art Scroll fixed all that and made it into one long bracha, which is correct. We don't say Amen after Mavishayna Meinai, Sumi Afapai. It's a bracha richta. It's a long bracha, which begins and ends with Baruch. Rav Schwab has an explanation of it. The simple meaning: Habavishayna Meinai, Hakadosh Baruch Hu makes the sleep pass from my eyes. Usnuma, how do you translate deep sleep? Slumber. Me'af hapoi, from my eyelids. Let's see his explanation. Habavishayna Meinai, Usnuma me'af hapoi. First, he explains the double lashon, bir kefal haloshin. The explanation of the double expression, shebihisayrer ha'adam, when a person awakens, shkiach ma'ayim, it's very common, sha'afsas shasara mimenu ha'shedo ha'amuka, even after his deep sleep has left him, avaladayin le'posach enav ve'enoi er legamri. A person has not yet opened his eyes, and he's not fully awake. The Gemara is an expression, a person who's sort of undecided if he's asleep or awake. You see people nodding off sometimes at different points of the day. So that's what it's referring to. If you say, Yaakov, he'll answer you. He's not asleep. But he's half awake. Kabbalah says that he can answer to a call of his name, but he won't be able to answer a logical question that requires thinking. It's an in-between stage. So, Mizehu Hamavishedo Hamuka Be'enai, someone who removes the deep sleep from my eyes, V'gama Tenuba Kloimer Hanimdum, so slumber, I think, means a deep sleep. What does slumber mean? I think a slumber is a deep sleep. It would seem to be an incorrect translation. Snuma would seem to mean drowsiness. I wonder how Oskol translates it. I don't know. But it seemed to be tenuma me'afapai. Hashem removes the drowsiness from my eyelids. All right, so it's a bracha on the two. Now, well, chayre bracha zu kula mukshahi. There are many difficulties in this bracha. He's going to ask four different questions. Aleph, hine, it's out of order. Hashvach al asaras hasheina, praising Hashem for awakening us from our sleep. Kaimai, take him kishiyar mishinasei. Should be as soon as a person wakes up from his sleep. B'chol pulaisav tovayin acheris ayrusai, and all his actions, gets dressed, etc., is after he wakes up. Laba tiknu laiba brachas ula b'saif. Why is this the 15th bracha? Achar shehoida pekech ivrim, zekef kafufim. If he thanked Hashem for opening his eyes and him standing up, loyein. El shekvar no'al minala, v'omar shosali kotzarki. He already put on his shoes. He said shosali kotzarki. It's out of order. The bracha is out of order. Awakening should be the first bracha of all of the brachas. That's the first kasha. It's out of order.
Because we have the other bracha of Gai Neshama, who's come before the brachas.
Well, that's not a bracha on waking up. It's true. It's a bracha on the Neshama returning. It's true. Well, if you're not going to make this bracha, you'll say Elokai Neshama Shenasat to me is one thing. But we are saying the bracha, so why are we saying it last? It seems to be out of place. Whose answer will answer your kasha too? Why it's distinct from Hamazah Neshama?
The point is not just waking up. The point is acknowledging Hashem and all the other brachas. So it's like the combination.
Sort of a full awareness. That's a little bit, that's part of what he says. And certainly, this is the first question. which is it's an additional level of awareness. But he has another kash, a few more kashes. Beis ubiyasi iksha. Mashenistra nistera bracha zu bein abrachas hashaych islam Yisrael bepratius. We said that the first 10 brachas are brachas on people. And then the last bracha, certainly, Ayte Yisrael b'sifara and Ayte Yisrael b'gvura, are brachas that are unique to the Jewish people. So, it's not in the right spot. And the end of the bracha mentions Kla Yisrael. All human, all creatures, all living creatures, have periods of drowsiness and being asleep. The beginning and end of bracha have to be connected. It says Hashem removes the sleep from our eyes. Hashem make us fluent in Torah. What has that got to do with awakening? It's the third bracha. Third kasha. What? So that's sort of what he's going to say. We'll see in a minute. Vav, kol chois mei brachas min apsichahem. There's a rule that the end of the bracha and the beginning of the bracha have to be related one to the other. Now, for example, you say brachas hatayra, so you make a bracha tivan alasi b'devei sayra, and it ends amlami tayra lami Israel. It's related. So here, the afshavaras shein of asaras tenuma. Chesed Gadoli, even though it's true that awakening is a great, is a kindness, Manishtana Shemeschilim Me'inai Me'afapai, Kebracha Ishis, a personal bracha, singular, Me'inai, a personal bracha, Umisaimin La'amo Yisrael, Aklali, and we end with the general bracha of Klama Yisrael. Menehechu Shagam Shapirish Abracha Kepshuta, even though there's a simple meaning to the bracha, but there must be a deeper meaning to it, and that's what needs explanation. And now he will explain the depth of this bracha. So he begins, I love a line he says, you'll see what he says. When man was first created, Hashem created a male and female as one person. When God separated the two portions, the two parts of a human being, Siv, Kadosh Baruch Hu put a slumber on a person, and he fell asleep. And God told us how God created a woman. So God took one of man's, one section of the man, and created from that a woman. I love this line. He says, God put man to sleep. It doesn't say he ever woke him up. It doesn't say the pussy that he woke up. It's like we're still asleep from that, falling asleep. There is still a sleepfulness in human beings. Shekaidem chalukas ha'adam, choylei riyah bihira, vastam klariyah ha'meira, bigilei lekusei yisbarach. When man was, as Hashem created him originally, he had a clarity in his perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his perception of God. U'kishim b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu tardei ma'al ha'adam, and when God put man to sleep, Nistra Hashena Zumimenu, I'm sorry, Nistra Hasaga Zumimenu, Venisharu Hu Ubanav Akrav Shikuim Bishena Ruchnias. There's a certain, the change of man from the way he was originally created includes within it a certain lack of awareness, a sleepfulness about everything about him, about the spirit, certainly the spiritual part of a person. Until there was a moment where Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself at Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a certain awareness that came specifically to Klal Yisrael. at the giving of the Torah, but Klai Yisrael was gifted with an awareness of Hashem's presence. K'mo shenemer atah reis aladas, you were shown to know ki Hashem olakim eloid milvadai. Ubiru Chazal explained shepasak achadish baruch hu liYisrael shiva rakiyim. It's as if God opened the seven heavens. V'nigla aleim ayim ba'ayim biyayfiyay ubikvaydai ubitayarai ubikesa shalai ubikisekvaydai. As if God appeared to him in his beauty, in his honor, in his image, and with his throne, and with his kiseyakavit.
The reason why Hashem put him to sleep was so that he could create Chava, which was a tova for him. Lo tova yos adam levado. But because of that tova, we're saying that he penalized him with this.
It was all of the things that took place in the change from the way man was originally created to the way man exists after the first day, after Gan Eden. They were all a come down for a person. They were all a. They already read that from a world of perfection. And in a world of perfection, there wouldn't have been a problem. Rashi says, why loy toif ayos adam levadai? So Rashi says, because man would think that he has some godliness to him. He'll say that all the creatures were created male and female, and he was created a self-sufficient creature. So really, it's not the perfection in the world of Din, Adam would have been as he was originally created. It's not as if God changed his mind. God created a world of perfection, and then man turned it into a place where human beings could be tested and hopefully attain perfection on their own. It was all part of a change in the perception of a human being, of man, had to take place before the chait, because without chava, the chait wouldn't happen. It was all a come down. What?
Mari in Brachot, it says that in itself was Hashem's plan, you know, to create a bisexual being and then sleeping.
Definitely.
So the second stage is more perfect than the first one.
It's more suitable, it's not more perfect. The world was more perfect originally, but suitable for man to attain what he has to attain is there's an idea of nama de kisufa. When a person's given everything, that's called nama de kisufa. It's not a worthy gift. Man to achieve is what a person has to do in this world.
It would seem logical that this should have taken place, this yirida, this particular aspect, should have taken place after Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas. That's when there should have been a yirida.
Okay, if you had set it up that way. You know, it says that Hashem created the world midas adin, and he saw the world would have no kiyum. He switched it to midas shitvus of din and rachman. That wasn't after the chait. That was in the original creation. The original creation, Hashem created a world in which there's a world of perfection of din, and there's a world of imperfection which has din and rachman. The Gemara actually says in Avodah Zarah that every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the morning sits down on his throne of din and judges the world, and he sees the world can't make it. So he gets up from his kisei adin and he switches to his kisei harachamim. So you would think, if you calculate, you have 365 days in the average year, and after 1,000 such years, you have 365,000 days. So God tried, you know, like 500,000 times or 1,000,000 times. Why is he bothering to sit on his kisei adin every morning? Let him just go straight to the kisei harachamim. The explanation that says in the in Taras Chaim is that no, every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits and judges with din. If there are individuals who achieve a greater level of perfection, even for a moment, even for a day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges them with the Kisei HaDin. And if a person doesn't achieve it, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu moves him down, moves over the Kisei Rachman, judges everyone. Ideally, a person who attains a level of perfection can hit Midas Adin, which is the perfect world. I still don't know about people who have achieved being Zachar V'Dekeva B'Gof Echad, but still there's a level of perfection and there's a level of reality. Human beings have to know ideals and then have to know where they're holding. A healthy human being realizes their ideals that he's not at. And then there's where he's at, and he's got to achieve, he's got to strive to the ideals. A person's not healthy and sees ideals that are beyond him, and does either one of two things, either denies the ideals, or some people become OCD-ish over the ideals. They become obsessive with ideals. It's not good, it's not a healthy thing.
So by the way, did the other lose anything further in terms of Yedias Hashem, if it was already taken?
So that's what Schwab is saying, that in the Yerida, there was a gradual decline in recognition of Hashem. Even today, when a person distances himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has the Yerida. I mean, from when a person stands at Ne'ilah, he has hopefully a certain sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, a day later, he doesn't have that sense anymore. Hopefully, there are moments where we have it. There are times that we have a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there are times, you know, sometimes they're fleeting moments where a person, you know, just has that feeling of a sense of Hashem, and sometimes not. It's, every once in a while, if you open your eyes, you'll see HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws you a little gift. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz called it a kiss. Every once in a while, God throws a person a little kiss. Just, you know, here I am, I'm here. You know, like it's an interesting thing.
Is that a positive or negative?
It's very positive. It's just, God is saying, you know, like a winking at you.
And
he says that when Avraham Avinu saw Eretz Yisrael, it says Hashem made him able to see all four directions without turning around. So Chaim Shalevitz says, what's the big deal? Turn around. What's this, such a big deal? He said, no, it was a little kiss. It was, you know, like Kosh Baruch Hu said, look at Eretz Yisrael. He allowed him to see it without turning around. So, I'll tell you, I had that feeling today. Last night I had a very busy night. Something came up. There was a meeting in my house that started at midnight. Some Rabbanim drove in from other cities to come. And it lasted till very late. And then this morning I had to prepare my first shiur back. So, I pulled out the Gemara, I'm up to Ishei Mishum Chitza, and I look at the Pnei Yeshua. There's a discussion about fire. If you have a candle that's burning, and you light it, a second candle, whether the second fire belongs to the owner of the first fire, or whether it's considered totally separate, it's a halakhic discussion. I was learning Mishnayis with my little grandson. So which Mishnah are we up to? We're up to a Mishnah in Be'ya. What? On Yantif. You notice the end of Be'ya. Oh, so you just did it. So Mishnah, I'm learning with him. The Mishnah in Be'ya says, you can't make this stuff up, right? So I'm learning my grandson. Tomorrow I'm making a scene with him. And the Mishnah says, if I have a candle, and someone else lights a candle for my candle, his candle has, his flame has his tchum. It says, if it's a coal, the coal is mine. If it's a flame, you spread the flame. So the new flame does not have my tchum. The Farsha Mishnah was great. I went into class. I told him, we have machlaikas here. There's a Pnei Yeshua and then Rav Shemesh Kapagis. They have a Farsha Mishnah. And they don't even bring it. So I just felt, you know, like Kadosh Baruch Hu winking from behind the curtains. Like, okay, you know, not so bad. It's things are better. So at any rate, this is the sense that he's talking about, an occasional sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What he is saying is that sense of the Bayrei Olam is Hamavish Sheinu Me'ena Stumi Afapoi, is that ability to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu at different levels, but the ability to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what the bracha is about. So he says, I mean, the rest of it is that even though we're very far from Hasidah, we're not holding there perfectly, but that's what Hamav Hashem made us to be Afapai. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, Klal Yisrael, through the Torah, the unique level of ability to be able to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it fits beautifully that we start with Hamav Hashem Me'ines to Me'afapai, and we go into Targileinu B'Serah Secha, V'Dabkeinu B'Mitzvah Secha, V'Ativienu L'Aydei Chev, L'Aydei Erva Avayin, all the things that have to do with sensing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being close to Torah, being distant from sin, that can be Yetzirah Tov, and we end, we thank Hashem, who's goyim al chasad v'tayv al ame Yisrael, what's the chasadim tayvim, that we have this this ability to sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu here and there every once in a while. So, this is what the bracha is about. It's a beautiful shot in the bracha. And you got to remember in the morning, you know, to do a Mavishayn Meis Nariyafa Pai, to be able to remember what the bracha is about. It's exactly right. It's the same expression. The shayfer is Uri Yishenim, wake up, Yishenim. What?
What about at night? We say the same.
Yeah, we say the reverse by Kriya Shema. I guess when we go to sleep, we don't, we're not exactly sensing God while we're sleeping.